T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network. WEEI 93.7 FM.
I was holding out hope that, you know what, Kyrie and KD might not go to Brooklyn after all, that they might come to New York City, that they might bless us with their presence, and we might have a star for the first time in quite a while. I don't want to hear about Patrick Ewing. I don't want to hear about Carmelo Anthony. I don't want to hear about Bernard King. I mean, that's how far back I got to go, y'all. I mean, it's been that bad. I didn't want to hear all about that. I was holding out hope. But then when you put into perspective that you lose out on KD or you lose out on Kyrie, you know what? That's bad enough. But it's not just that. It's KD, it's Kyrie, it's Kawhi, it's Klay Thompson, it's Jimmy Butler, it's everybody, for crying out loud. What? What? Rachel, what are you doing to me? What are
I'm trying,
you, I mean,
I'm
could you ask
here.
Me something I about can't. Kawhi? Could you ask me about Jimmy Butler? Could you ask me about...
Oh, boy, that's Stephen A. Smith weighing in on his New York Knicks. Jeez. Stephen A. Smith not happy right now. This hour of WEI is brought to you by Feldman Land Surveyors. 617-779-7937 is your number. All right, so that's Stephen A. Smith. So apparently what Stephen A. Smith is so agitated about, Adrian Wojnarowski and Ramona Shelburne reported that apparently the Knicks were not willing to give Kevin Durant a max contract, like the four-year maximum contract, which in principle, like, I can understand with not wanting to give Kevin Durant a max contract because he's coming back from an Achilles injury, but you're the damn Knicks. You haven't had a star in that town forever. Like, you thought Carmelo Anthony was that guy. Clearly he wasn't. And you thought with all the other teams that were after Kevin Durant, obviously the Warriors wanted to keep him. We're offering him a five-year max. Obviously the Clippers wanted Kevin Durant. Obviously the Nets, who Kevin Durant is signing with, they wanted Kevin Durant. You, as the Knicks organization, thought you could get away with saying, yeah, we're not going to offer you the max. What did you think was going to happen? What did the Knicks think were going to... Now they're signing guys like Julius Randle. Those are going to be the new stars. Julius Randle is going to be the new star of the New York Knicks. My God. That's the good news for the Celtics today. You're not the Knicks. The joke of the NBA, the Knicks and the Hornets. Those are the teams that have done the worst today. The Hornets gave Terry Rozier a backup point guard, $58 million. All he wanted to do last year, every time he got on the court, was shoot. His playoff run 2 years ago was completely overrated. So the Hornets had an awful day. They decided to go and sign Terry to a $58 million deal. And then the other team, the Knicks. Oh, man. This team, think about the Knicks. They traded away Kristaps Porzingis, a 23-year-old, a star in this league, an all-star. And I get there was some friction between Porzingis and the organization. But you traded that guy away, and like the main reason why was so you could open up two max salary cap spots, and you're not going to use either one of them. Like, the plan had been Kyrie and KD, and that's not going to happen whatsoever. Just not going to happen for the New York Knicks. Now, one thing that I would like to say as it pertains to one Kemba Walker, I believe what Kemba Walker should do is he should write a thank you note, or however people want to communicate nowadays. Maybe it's an email. Maybe he wants to send something on Instagram, maybe he wants to make an announcement on social media. The thing that Kemba Walker needs to do immediately is he needs to find some way to thank Kyrie Irving, because he should be thanking Kyrie Irving for the embrace he's about to get from the Boston fan base, right? Because this is going to be like Isaiah Thomas 2.0. Everybody in Boston is going to love Kemba Walker because essentially he's not Kyrie. Okay, Kemba Walker is not Kyrie. Like, that's his biggest strength of coming to Boston. He's not Kyrie. He's not a guy that is problematic in the locker room. There's been no evidence of that throughout Kemba Walker's career. In fact, we chatted with Jeff Goodman a little bit earlier today, and he said that everybody loves Kemba Walker in terms of his teammates and whatnot. So you had a guy in Kyrie Irving throw every teammate that he ever played with the Celtics, it seemed like, under the bus, with the exception of, like, Marcus Morris. Apparently that was his guy. But he continually threw the young guys under the bus. He blamed the media for all the issues he was having. He wouldn't sign 100 basketballs for charity. Okay, that story just came out. The guy wouldn't sign 100 basketballs for charity. Said, "Yeah, I'm not interested in that." Who responds to anything like that, by the way? "Yeah, I'm not interested in that. Honey, would you pick up some milk at the grocery store?" "Yeah, I'm not interested in that." Kyrie Irving wasn't interested in signing 100 basketballs for charitable partners of the Celtics. Like, dude, you're supposed to be the face of the organization. You won't sign that. Kyrie Irving also, remember, he told the fan base, "I'll be here as long as you will have me." And then he decided, when he was playing a game against the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, to say, "Ask me on July 1st about my free agency." And then he's upset when the media is asking him about his free agency because he's the one that turned on the Celtics. Remember how quickly that commercial he had with his dad went away? Remember that commercial where he was like, "I want my jersey hung up there." Yeah, I don't think that 11 jersey, Kyrie, is going to be hung up at the rafters anytime soon.
He's the reason I wear number 11. I want to be the reason no one else will.
My favorite commercial of all time. Really is. They should play that when Kyrie Irving comes back to Boston next year. When Kyrie Irving comes back and he's introduced, they should actually play that and put that on like the Jumbotron so everybody can boo Kyrie Irving. You know how like most of the guys that come back, now everybody overdoes it nowadays, but Isaiah got his video. All these guys that come back, they get a video, right? Like a tribute video, if you will. They should just play that for Kyrie Irving, like at a commercial, and then everybody can just boo Kyrie Irving. But you had that commercial, right? All the stuff that Kyrie Irving did. Kemba Walker, his biggest strength is that he gets to come in and be the point guard after Kyrie Irving. Just from an ethos standpoint, right? Just from the fan base wants to love Kemba Walker, right? They don't even care that there are some deficiencies in his game, okay? They just want to love him because he's not Kyrie Irving. So if I'm Kemba Walker, I'm writing a letter. I'm penning a letter, to use an old term, to Kyrie saying, "Thank you, man, because this fan base is going to embrace me." Now, one thing I found interesting, and we chatted with actually Jeff Goodman earlier today, and he tweeted this out yesterday. Source close to Kemba told me that the primary reason for the All-Star point guard choosing Boston was a chance to go deep in the playoffs and play with talented guys like Tatum, Hayward, and Jaylen Brown. Doesn't feel as if he has to do it all by himself, which was the case in Charlotte. Now, there's certainly truth to that. He did have to do it all by himself in Charlotte. Nobody would dispute that. I mean, that team was absolute garbage. The fact that they could never find that guy a second player, that organization drafted Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, a guy that had a broken jump shot, over Bradley Beal. Okay? That's how bad of an organization they are. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, they wouldn't give up the 7th or the 8th pick in the draft, whatever it was, where they used to draft Frank Kaminsky, for 4 first-round draft picks. That's how poorly run that Charlotte organization is. So that's certainly true. But the thing that I find funny about this from the Kemba Walker angle is, as the source told Jeff Goodman, the primary reason is so the All-Star point guard is choosing Boston to go deep into the playoffs to play with talented guys like Tatum, Hayward, and Brown. And that's true now, right? That's true. So after he found out that he wasn't going to be a Charlotte Hornet, he locked in on Boston and said, "Okay, seems like a good team with some nice young players, some vets I can mesh with. It seems like a nice place for me to be." But let's all remember this as it pertains to Kemba Walker. Kemba originally wanted to stay in Charlotte, right? Everybody's like anointing Kemba the next great thing in Boston. Everybody can't wait to see Kemba Walker in the Celtics green. Those jerseys are probably already selling, right? The Kemba Walker jerseys. But let's remember this when it comes to Kemba Walker. The Celtics were his second choice, right? You're getting the Charlotte Hornets sloppy seconds here, right? Because Kemba Walker, literally, what, about 2.5 weeks ago, he said, literally, that he would take less money to stay in Charlotte. Because the Hornets had the ability to give this guy a $221 million contract, okay? And the Hornets said, "No, we're not going to do that." They actually completely lowballed the guy to the point where they were offering him $62 million less dollars than he could have gotten in the Supermax deal. So Kemba Walker's original choice, remember, was to stay in Charlotte to make that money. And I'm not saying that is a critical thing or anything along those lines. Hey, you can get $221 million compared to what he's getting with the Celtics, which is $141 million. You go ahead and you take that deal every day of the week if I'm Kemba Walker, right? But the point now is he wasn't going to get close to that. They lowballed him to the point where they were only offering him about $160 million. So Kemba said, "Nah, I'm not going to stick around here in Charlotte on a 5-year deal for $160 million. I'd rather go to Boston when it's about $19 million less. It's not $80 million less, which was what he was first looking at. So, yeah, he didn't want to re-sign in Charlotte now that he only offered him around $160 million. But remember, if they offered him close to $200, if they offered him $190 million, he wouldn't be a member of the Boston Celtics. He would be sticking with the Charlotte Hornets. So now Kemba Walker is putting it out there that he can't wait to play with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward and all these guys. He's doing the right thing now. But let's all acknowledge the fact that you're getting the Charlotte Hornets sloppy seconds, okay? Kemba Walker wanted to remain a member of the Charlotte Hornets. But some of the other things that he points out here are the fact that he is interested in playing with talented guys like Tatum, Hayward, and Jaylen Brown. This is like the perfect anti-Kyrie campaign, too, from Kemba's behalf and the people around Kemba that talked to Jeff Goodman, right? The source that talked to Jeff Goodman, because think about it. Kyrie Irving continually threw the young guys under the bus, the Jaylen Browns of the world specifically. He even referenced Jaylen Brown one time to Jackie McMullen where he said, I don't have time to wait around for a Jaylen Brown, right? So he did that on multiple occasions. And Kemba Walker, the source release relays rather to Jeff Goodman that he's interested in playing with Gordon Hayward, which is like, remember, Gordon Hayward was somebody that came under a lot of criticism and not even just Gordon Hayward, but the organization, mainly Brad Stevens. Remember, that was like a thing with this team is some of the guys on the team, the Terry Rozier's of the world is like the main culprit of this, but there were other guys as well. It was reported they were aggravated with the amount of opportunities that Gordon Hayward was getting because they felt like it was almost a teacher's pet scenario, right? Because Gordon Hayward, of course, was Brad Stevens' guy. So people felt like, oh, Gordon Hayward was getting all these opportunities just because he was Brad Stevens' guy, right? So they felt like they should have been getting those opportunities. And Kemba Walker, the source says to Jeff Goodman that he's interested in playing with a Gordon Hayward. Okay, so he's already putting his spin on things to try to make the culture better in Boston, saying, look, I like Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward can be a really good player. I'm interested in playing with Gordon Hayward. So Kemba's already appealing to one of the issues that the Celtics had. So the organization must love this, that he's saying, oh, yeah, I can't wait to play with Gordon Hayward. When we heard coming out of there this season, that was one of the big issues, is guys were upset with the use of Gordon Hayward. And I honestly thought Brad Stevens got an unfair shake with that to begin with. Because if you really think about it, what was he supposed to do? First of all, he took the guy out of the starting lineup and he put him on the bench. What was he supposed to do when Gordon Hayward came into the game? Do you want him to just be a spot-up shooter? He shot 33% from three-point territory this year. Gordon Hayward's best attribute even this year as a player was when he actually had the ball in his hands and he was creating offense for other people. Like, that was his biggest strength this year. Did he do it at an amazingly high level like you thought maybe he could when he came over from Utah? No. He didn't have a great season. Nobody would dispute that. But the best thing he did was get into the paint and distribute and create for other guys. So I just don't understand why all these players were so upset with the Gordon Hayward thing. His college coach literally took him out of the starting lineup. He was tied for six on the team in minutes per game. I don't understand how Gordon Hayward got more opportunities than anybody else. Like, I don't understand why there was so much animosity towards that. What did they really do that was favoring Gordon Hayward? The guy is somebody that came over and he was an all-star, okay, from Utah, and they put him on the bench. The only thing that I could argue in terms of a negative aspect to the Gordon Hayward treatment is the thing I would ask Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge specifically is, and clearly the answer must be yes, is this is if the player we saw on the court, right? Is that the guy we saw in training camp and summer workouts leading up to the season and fall workouts, whatever it was, before you got to the season, is that what Gordon Hayward looked like? Because if that's what Gordon Hayward looked like, it seems like to me it would have been much easier for the ethos of the team because clearly they thought that Gordon Hayward was being treated with more favoritism, if you will. The teammates did. So if he was playing that poorly leading up to the season in terms of the athleticism still wasn't there, maybe he was just an unbelievable practice player. I don't know that. I assume that's not the truth. But if you wanted to develop this into a better culture, maybe what you should have done, and this probably would have been better for Gordon Hayward too. The guy's coming off a severe injury, a broken leg. If you just said to Gordon, hey, we're going to start you on a minutes limit, because he must have looked this bad in training camp as well, right? There's no way he looked like one of the best players on the court in training camp. I don't know how that would be true. If you just said to Gordon Hayward to begin the season, hey, Gordon, we're going to start you off on the bench. We're going to have you on a minutes restriction and we're going to work you up, okay? Because then it's like, all right, when you really get to that level, then we'll plug you into the starting lineup when we get that opportunity. But we just want to make sure you're healthy. And that would have been a way to actually benefit Gordon Hayward, the player. Because Gordon Hayward would have got more minutes with Kyrie Irving off the court, right? So you could have said, like, with the second unit, Gordon Hayward go in there and run things because you're on a minutes restriction. It would have been a way to protect the player as well, because clearly he was not ready to go when the season began. So that's the one thing I would point to for Brad Stevens, is saying maybe that's the one issue the players had, is you started him in the starting five to begin the season. Maybe that was the issue. But in terms of, like, Brad Stevens taking opportunities away from other guys, I don't really see it. Did anybody want more opportunities for Terry Rozier? That doesn't make any sense for me. So I didn't really understand the whole bad rap that Gordon Hayward got, or that Brad Stevens got, showing favoritism to Gordon Hayward. He took the guy out of the damn starting lineup. What else do you want him to do? He was tied for sixth for most minutes per game on the team. I don't understand why people were so upset about that in terms of the players on the team. But Kemba Walker, genius by pointing out all these guys, because Kyrie Irving's problems were with the young guys. And apparently it came out after the season that maybe he was upset with the Gordon Hayward situation as well. So Kemba Walker is immediately saying, I can't wait to play with these guys. Now, not in those exact words, but part of the reason that attracted him to Boston is the young talent and a guy like Gordon Hayward. So he is definitely placating to not only the organization, but the fan base as well. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you on WEI. Let's get to Ed in Bellingham. What's up, Ed?
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
Good.
I called about, you know, you asked why Celtics fans have reason to be optimistic. But I'll tell you, some of the things you just said, like calling Boston Kemba Walker's sloppy second, it's silly, right? I mean, that's what makes Kemba even better, is the fact that he wanted to stay in Charlotte, that he's part of that community, that he's invested. And when that goes away and they treat him like crap, he looked around and he said, Boston's a place for me. That makes me like him even more. And Kyrie didn't choose to be here. Kyrie made it a drama. Kyrie made it all about Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Kemba's been paid. Kemba's a leader. He's been paid. He's going to have that confidence. I'm not saying Kemba's a better player than Kyrie, but Kemba's going to be a heck of a lot better for this team than Kyrie. I don't think anybody can dispute that. And I think that, you know, when you say how are we better, you know, yeah, we lost. I think the biggest loss is Al. I mean, losing Al kills me. But I don't want to pay Al $25 million when he's 36 years old and only can play 30 games. So it's part of the deal. So I want to see what happens there. But Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they're going to be a year better. I know it's cliche, but they're going to be a year better. And Gordon Hayward is going to be...
Yeah, but Ed, let me ask you this. Ask you this specifically as it pertains to Tatum. Didn't you think he'd be better this year than he was last year?
Do I think he was better this year than last year? I think he...
No. To your point, Ed, what you're saying is another year, you said it's cliche, another year they'll be better. But I thought that Tatum would be better in his second season than his rookie year, and I don't think he made a step whatsoever. I actually think he took a step back.
And I agree. I don't think he took a step back. I think he had more responsibility on him. He had a lot more expectation on him. And so it's kind of like that sophomore slump thing. But I do think that Jason Tatum as a 21-year-old is just going to continue to get better. So I'm not cutting him slack and making excuses. I just think it's the reality of the situation. I think that Jason Tatum will continue to be a better player. I didn't like some of his shot selection. I think part of that was the whole Kyrie dynamic, Rozier dynamic, Hayward, whatever you want to call it. But I think that them having a better, as you put it, ethos, I think is going to make them a stronger team. Will they be a better team? I don't know. I've got to see what happens with the bigs. But I do think Gordon Hayward, you cannot dismiss the fact that I think Gordon Hayward, he might not be an all-star, but he's going to be a heck of a lot better. Because when you said about Gordon Hayward in preseason, he probably did look great in preseason. The thing is, I believe it's mental with him, of everything I've seen. And I think
I can imagine that.
Until there's that pressure, you don't know what it's going to be. And so I think they did the right thing to start him. I did the right thing to yank him. And I think it's a bunch of baloney for guys to point to him as a scapegoat because his miniature is thing to start.
Yeah, Ed, maybe that would be great if Gordon Hayward bounces back. And even if he's like 85 to 90% of the player that he was in Utah. And remember, Paul George did come out and say that it takes about 2 years to get better from that injury because he had the same thing. The one thing I would say, though, Ed, in reference to Gordon Hayward, I would tell him, dude, like, get out of the weight room. He looks like way too top heavy. It looks like he put on almost too much muscle. Like, the top of his body just looks like completely stiff to me. I don't understand why he wanted to get that big.
The thing I hated, I agree, but the thing I hated about the way he played sometimes was you could tell the confidence wasn't there because he looked the pass when he had obvious lane jumpers, and when he took them and when he was confident in some of those games, not the obvious Minnesota games and other games, he really did well. But when he started questioning himself, and I agree, the weight thing probably threw him off a little too, so hopefully he'll be a little bit more lean. But, I just think it was a mental thing. I think he kept passing on an obvious two-footers, and it was a bummer for me because I wanted him to do well, but then again, I wanted Kyrie to do well. But Hayward wants to be here. Kemba wants to be here. Kyrie Irving, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. He's taking his bets. I think it's better for us that he's gone. And, you know, even though he's a greatly talented guy, I think the day he said the earth is flat, everybody should have had a quote.
Yeah, that's true. I appreciate the call. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. That's a great point by Ed. Maybe we should have realized at that particular point in time, hey, you probably can't trust a guy that thinks the earth is flat. Unreal. Unreal. I can't remember like a stretch in Boston for an athlete where that guy is going to be more hated long term for being in this particular city for a short period of time. Who's going to be more hated than Kyrie Irving? I'm trying to think of other guys like even Pablo Sandoval. Like, yeah, he sucked. But that almost, too, was more you looked at the front office, right? You're like, what the hell are the Red Sox doing signing Pablo Sandoval? Carl Crawford, same thing. Like, people thought that he would not be a great fit in Boston, right? And with the Celtics, I think Kyrie is worse than all those guys. Because Kyrie, it wasn't like you said when Danny Ainge traded for Kyrie, like, that's a horrible move. Everyone's like, oh, this is a great move, okay? You knew that Isaiah Thomas was dealing with a hip injury. And all you were giving up in terms of an asset was really the 7th or the 8th pick in the draft. And you knew at that particular point in time, you didn't know exactly what the pick was going to be, but you didn't think it was going to be top 2 or 3. You thought the Nets were going to be a little bit better that year. So that's all you were giving up for Kyrie Irving. Everybody thought it was a great move at the time. And it just turned out to be the guy was a complete malcontent. He was a locker room destroyer. And that's exactly what Kyrie Irving was. So, I mean, it's really unbelievable to see the turn that this guy made, not only in like 2 years, but in literally like 7 months, he went from being like somebody that everybody in this city loved because he said, I'll stay here as long as you'll have me. And he asked to get away from LeBron. And we know that everybody in this town despises LeBron because of the fact that LeBron has beaten the Celtics so many times in the postseason over the years, whether it's with the Heat or it's with the Cavaliers, his second go around in Cleveland. He was beating down on the Celtics, right? Ever since the Celtics blew that 3-2 lead against the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals years ago, LeBron has been just basically owning the Celtics, right? So everybody hated LeBron, and he wanted to leave that guy. And then, in the middle of this season, he said he had to call LeBron to apologize. Like, clearly, Kyrie Irving had been planning his exit out of here for months, because when you say something like that, when you say something along those lines, that you were in a situation where you needed to apologize to LeBron, you know you're going to irritate the Celtics fan base. Bottom line, and all that was when Kyrie said, I needed to apologize to LeBron because I know when I was a young player, I was immature. All he was doing there is he didn't want to take on any of the ownership with the issues with the team. He just wanted to point to the young guys because basically what he's saying is, hey, when I was young, I was a jerk too. I was a jerk when I was a young player too. Basically saying, oh yeah, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, all these guys, they're jerks. Okay, that's what Kyrie Irving was doing. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to hop on board, the number is 617-779-7937. Are you happy about the new era of Celtics basketball that's going to star Kemba Walker? We'll get into all that. We'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
93.7 FM, WEI.
Horford Point. Steve Bulpet from the Boston Globe put it out there saying that sources close to Horford say that even after all the Celtics cap gymnastics, he will not be winding up back in Boston. So even if they hypothetically had the space for Al, apparently he wouldn't wind up back here. What do you think went wrong with the Al relationship, Jeff?
Well, I just think it's simply that they don't want to give him 4 years. You know, they don't want to pay him through 37 years old, which you can't blame him. Because I don't think he's worth that. You know, whoever's offering him a 4-year deal, and we still don't know. It's kind of a mystery, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the teams I've heard are Sacramento, I've heard Philadelphia, I've heard New Orleans, that are all interested. But we haven't heard that team, which is unbelievable to me that it stayed quiet for this long. So that's going to be the interesting thing. You know, again, everybody else, we kind of knew where they were going to end up for the most part, right? All the big boys in all this. But Al Horford, we still don't know. And maybe it is something where if the Celtics just kind of sit tight, maybe somebody else doesn't give them that 4-year, 100. And I heard it was $115 million about 10 days ago. And we'll kind of see what happens there. But I think ultimately, again, it was more Danny Ainge saying, listen, we'll give you a 3-year deal, but we can't give you a 4-year deal, you know, at $112, $150 million.
All right, that was Jeff Goodman who joined me earlier this evening in regards to Al Horford and the fact that he's no longer going to be a member of the Celtics organization. 617-779-7937 is your number if you want to weigh in on the Celtics offseason thus far. The interesting part to that with me is it felt like all day that we were getting to a spot where they were trying to pull off a sign-and-trade deal to possibly bring Al Horford back to the Celtics. Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer had reported earlier on in the day that the Celtics were apparently the mystery team that was after Al Horford, which I find it funny and kind of perplexing that they were being reported as the mystery team, considering they were the team he just played the past three seasons for. That made no sense to me whatsoever. But to piggyback off what Jeff Goodman was saying, he essentially was pointing out that what happened was with Al was more about he doesn't think that Danny Ainge wanted to give him the fourth year on the contract, okay? But what I would point to is, if you're willing to bring in a 29-year-old point guard where the first year under contract, he's going to be 29, he's going to be 30, 31, 32 throughout this contract. So you figure, okay, we got two prime years, and then the contract's probably not going to look good going forward, because I've told you a million times, these small point guards, they age like bananas. It goes ugly really, really quickly. Okay, these guys tend to fall off a cliff, to use the Max Kellerman term. They fall off a cliff very quickly. The only like real small point guard that has aged well throughout his NBA career is like John Stockton. That's pretty much it. All these other guys, look at Chris Paul, and I get Paul's a little older now, but he fell off quickly, okay? And Kemba's game is based on speed and athleticism, and it's a guy that's had multiple knee procedures. So I'd be aware of that as well. But if you're going to sign Kemba Walker to this 29, where he's 29, you're signing to a four-year max, why would not signing out, why would you be worried about the final year of Al Horford's contract? That's what doesn't make sense to me if I'm Danny Ainge, right? Because, look, I disagree with Danny Ainge's plan to begin with. I've made that abundantly clear. I don't think Kemba Walker is the smartest idea in the world. I would have just rather build around the young guys and go after a younger point guard like maybe a Malcolm Brogdon. Heck, I would rather bring in a veteran like Patrick Beverley, who I know is not going to basically need the ball offensively like Kemba Walker does, and just let Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown see if they can be the alpha males, essentially, from an offensive perspective. That's what I would have rather seen. But if I'm putting myself in Danny Ainge's shoes here, clearly he thinks that Kemba Walker is somebody that at least brings him closer to a championship level, right? Well, if that's the case, why wouldn't you be trying to bring back Al Horford? Why would you be worried about the fourth year of that deal? That's what doesn't make sense to me. If you're willing to bring in Kemba Walker, a small point guard at the age of 29 on a four-year contract, why aren't you willing to pay the final year of Al Horford's contract? That's what's kind of perplexing to me. Mark Stein also tweeted this out as it pertains to Al Horford. Quote, last two teams consulted, furthermore, listed two different destinations for Al Horford as mystery team tour 2019 rolls on. So essentially what Mark Stein is saying is he just talked to two teams across the league and nobody knows who this mystery team is. Nobody knows who this mystery team is that is trying to sign Al Horford. We've been hearing for weeks that Al Horford had a four-year, $112 million deal on the table. And now we have no idea who that team is. No idea who that team is. One thing that I would point out, could it possibly be the Lakers? Because if you think about it from this perspective, we know they freed up the money, right? Anthony Davis basically gave away his $4 million trade kicker, if you will. Basically, he made that back from Space Jam with LeBron James. Because usually a Rich Paul client who also represents LeBron, we know, usually gives up no money, okay? They never give up money. So maybe they're like, hey, man, we need to get another max-level player in here. We'll give you the $4 million for Space Jam. Can you just give it up from a financial perspective? And Anthony Davis is like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. If you give me the $4 million for Space Jam, we'll call it even. So maybe that's how that happened. But nonetheless, so now we know that apparently they were after Kawhi Leonard, and they were having a meeting with Kawhi Leonard, and he apparently wanted to meet with Magic Johnson. Magic says he talked to him, but apparently he couldn't meet with him in official capacity because Magic Johnson, of course, remember, is no longer technically employed by the Los Angeles Lakers, okay? So he couldn't meet with him officially. But maybe what the Lakers are planning on is if they do strike out on the Kawhi Leonard situation, maybe Al Horford is their secondary target, if you will. But if you're Al Horford, would you be willing to wait that thing out? I got to imagine it's one of the LA teams because we know the Clippers have a ton of salary cap space. And we also know that the Lakers have opened up that final salary cap spot, if you will. So if they find out that they're not getting Kawhi Leonard, maybe they think they can pair LeBron James and Anthony Davis with Al Horford. Wouldn't that just suck from a Celtics perspective, though? To see Al Horford in a Lakers uniform? Oh, man. That would really suck. If Al Horford actually does go and plays with LeBron James as a member of the Lakers, that would really suck. That really would. Now, my one question about Al Horford, as it pertains to the team he just left and what happened with Al Horford in a Boston Celtics uniform, is it seems like with the fan base, everybody loved Al Horford. All of his teammates loved Al Horford. But the one thing that I question about Al Horford is when all this drama was going on with the Celtics organization, where was Al Horford? Because I get that technically Kyrie Irving was supposed to be the face of the franchise, if you will, right? That was Kyrie Irving's job. He's the face of the franchise. And rightfully so. He's the star player. That's what happens. But I thought that Al Horford was supposed to be the adult in the room, one of the leaders of this team, right? So I'm really wondering about this locker room in general in terms of how could one guy destroy the whole ethos of the system? That's what I don't get about this thing. Is it because you had Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge enabling Kyrie Irving at every turn, where every time he did something that most of us would criticize and got upset about, the organization would defend him, like missing the final two games before the All-Star game and then playing in the All-Star game? If you're a teammate of Kyrie Irving, that's going to piss you off, right? Like, oh, Kyrie, you couldn't play against Detroit and Philly, but you could play with your friends in the All-Star game, right? That's like spitting in your teammate's face. Yeah, guys, I'm not going to play in these important regular season games, but I will play in the All-Star game because my friends are going to be there, right? That would piss you off. It would also piss you off that after a game you lose, Kyrie Irving comes out and says, these young guys don't know what it's like to win a championship, right? Continually blaming the young guys for the issues that the team is having, right? So Kyrie Irving clearly was somebody that destroyed the locker room, but it felt like Danny Ainge and company and Brad Stevens defended him. When he called out Brad Stevens publicly for the way that they were defending Kemba Walker, if you will, ironically, now Kemba Walker, a Boston Celtic, for the way they were defending Kemba, saying everybody else doubles him except us and he lights us up every time. So Brad Stevens then says that he let the team down and he apologized for it. He essentially apologized to Kyrie Irving publicly. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe you couldn't have these secondary leaders on the team if Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens were basically defending Kyrie Irving at every turn. Maybe that's the issue that they ran into, is maybe Al Horford couldn't be the leader that he was supposed to be because Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge were defending the erratic behavior of Kyrie Irving because they felt it was necessary to do so because they thought that it would help them in terms of keeping Kyrie Irving long term. But that is my one critique of Al Horford as a Celtic, because I think he did everything you asked him to do. The guy took a backseat offensively in multiple different seasons. He was fine being the secondary, the third guy, if you will. He played tremendous defense. He was great in terms of the pick and pop game. Exceptional passer. Like, Al Horford made this organization better on the court. But my one critique of Al Horford would be this. If you were supposed to be the other guy, the other leader on this team, you are making max money. And part of the thing that I've always heard about Al Horford is he does all the little things, right? Well, wouldn't one of those little things be making sure that the locker room is in a good position? And you never stuck up for your teammates, and you never went out there and publicly defended guys. You never apparently called out Kyrie Irving. Maybe you tried to talk to him privately, but we've never been made aware of that. Like, at what point did you need your big veteran in Al Horford to stick up to Kyrie Irving? I would say you needed it about midway through the season when Kyrie Irving was just a wrecking ball and he was basically destroying the ethos of this organization. He was destroying the culture that Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens had built up over so many years, because nobody had a bad thing to say about Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens before this season began. And then Kyrie Irving started behaving erratically and they defended said erratic behavior. But at what point was Al Horford going to step up and do something about it? And it appears he never did. And it appears like nobody else in the team did anything. We saw guys get mad at the young guys like Kyrie Irving did. Remember, Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown got into it, but we never saw people stick up for other guys on the team. The only person that would actually say stuff to Kyrie Irving, or at least disagree with Kyrie Irving publicly, was who? Jaylen Brown, like a 21, 22-year-old kid. He's the only guy that would disagree with Kyrie Irving publicly to the point where he said, it's not just the young guys, it's the old guys too. He actually referenced the fact that leadership starts at the top, meaning leadership should start with the Kyrie Irvings of the world. Jaylen Brown was the only guy on this team that had the balls, that had the lower intestinal fortitude, if you will, to call out Kyrie Irving. And from my perspective, the guy that should have been doing that, and you can tell me, well, it's not his personality, he's not a rah-rah guy. Well, at some point, Al Horford had to take the temperature of the room and realize, like, there is a major problem in terms of what this team is doing right now in terms of the culture in the locker room. There's a major issue right here, and Al Horford had to step in and actually play a role of leader on this team, and he never did that whatsoever. So that's my one critique of Al Horford. But I also don't blame Al for leaving. If Danny Ainge, like Jeff Goodman said, really wasn't willing to give him a fourth year, You look at the team right now, it's worse than it was a season ago. Why would you stick around if you're Al Horford? Why would you stick around for less years? Get the most possible money you can and see if you can play for a team that is championship caliber. Even if it's not championship caliber, it could be on the same level as the Celtics. Who's to say the Dallas Mavericks aren't going to be a better team than the Celtics next year? They have Porzingis. Luka Doncic had a great rookie season. So you got two young players right there. Who's to say they can't be a better team than the Celtics next season, even if that's the destination that Al Horford takes, or goes to, I should say. So I don't blame Al Horford one bit for taking the money and taking the years going elsewhere rather than staying with the Boston Celtics. And I could see why Al Horford would be kind of irked by this, right? Because you've asked him to sacrifice, you've asked him to do all these things, and if you really didn't offer him the fourth year, I would be pissed off if I was Al Horford. I would be really upset if I was Al Horford. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to hop on board here, your number is 617-779-7937. Are you happy right now with the new look Boston Celtics? Do you feel good about your team going forward? Brian Barrett with you right here on WEEI.
93.7 FM. WEEI.
Kemba Walker is on his way to the Boston Celtics. He plans to commit to a four-year, $141 million maximum contract with the Celtics when free agency opens on Sunday, league sources told me. For Walker, his heart was always in Charlotte with the Hornets. He wanted to stay with Michael Jordan's team. But the fact was, is Charlotte, their offer was significantly lower than even the normal maximum contract, which was 5 years and $190 million. So forget the fact that he was eligible for the five-year, $221 million supermax contract. The Hornets' offer, I'm told, wasn't even really close to the max contract of $190 million.
That's Sham Sharania from Watch Stadium, The Athletic, reporting on Kemba Walker last night. And apparently the offer that the Hornets made was about $160 million. So they offered him like $62 million less than he was going to make via the Supermax. 617-779-7937 is the number. That's why this whole situation in the NBA, this whole Supermax contract, is just stupid. It is really dumb because certain guys can earn it and then the team can decide not to pay it or not. Or like in the case of Klay Thompson, he's somebody that deserves the Supermax and he can't get it. Like what you should just do is the team should be able to decide whether or not the guy's a Supermax player. Think about how these Supermax contracts are actually decided. The media votes guys all NBA, and that's how they make Supermax money. Stupid. If a team wants to pay the guy the Supermax, they should be able to offer the guy the Supermax. And it also gives players leverage too. Hey, if you don't offer me a Supermax, I'll leave. Like, I just don't understand why we need to have a Supermax contract that you need to qualify for by making an all-NBA team. If a team wants to spend money in a stupid manner, allow them to spend money in a stupid manner, right? If a team wanted to pay somebody that wasn't a max level player, at least from our perception, max level money, let them do it. I mean, it's their prerogative. It's their money. I don't understand why you need to qualify to get a super max contract. In what other sport is that the case? In what other sport do you have to qualify to earn the most possible money? If you want to get stupid money in the NFL, somebody can give you stupid money, right? Kirk Cousins can get that guaranteed contract from the Minnesota Vikings without ever winning a playoff game. It doesn't matter. They have the ability to give him that contract. Okay, but for some reason in the NBA, there is a super max contract. I don't get it whatsoever. I really don't. And it was supposed to help some of these teams keep their own guys, right? But it didn't help Oklahoma City keep Kevin Durant. He decided to leave. If you look at it from Paul George's perspective, he had no interest in signing a supermax contract with the Indiana Pacers. So it's not like it's really helping these teams that get these guys. For example, now San Antonio, there was some bad blood there between Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs as well. But they eventually offered him a supermax contract. And all these guys are deciding to pass up on the supermax contracts. And the one guy that decided, hey, I kind of want the supermax with the team I'm supposed to play with, the Charlotte Hornets. Kemba Walker says he wants it. And the Charlotte Hornets don't even want to give it to him. So I don't understand how this supermax contract, if you will, has been good for the NBA. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. Just makes no sense. I mean, it's just stupid. I don't get it whatsoever. The supermax contract is like, I mean, if I'm Kemba Walker today, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I'm now with the Celtics, but I had an opportunity. I earned an opportunity to take $221 million from the Charlotte Hornets, and all they would offer me was $160 million. Now, I understand that the Hornets are a horribly run organization, right? We can look at the fact that they have drafted so poorly over the past couple of years, right? There's no debating that. But if you look at this, this is a guy that the Hornets did not want to build their team around long term. Because even the Hornets, as dumb as they are, if they felt that Kemba Walker was the piece that puts you over the top to win a championship, they pay him the Supermax. But clearly they don't. They were in the lottery a season ago. So that's one thing that would concern me from a Celtics perspective. Are you so sure this is the guy you want to give max money to? You want to spend your max salary cap space on Kemba Walker, a guy that doesn't fit with the timeline of the guys that are supposed to be the best players on your team as we look at Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown going forward. 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's get to Kelly in Amherst. What's up, Kelly?
Hey, what's up, man? I totally agree that this conditional Supermax thing, like you got to make a certain, you know, you got to be all NBA to get a certain amount of money. I think that's really stupid. They should definitely let these teams decide to pay however they want, you know?
Well, Kelly, it's like, all right, so Klay Thompson, the reason that he's not getting a Supermax is because he sacrificed some shots there in Golden State this year, right? He took less shots than Durant. He took less shots than Steph Curry. But I think anybody, if they were comparing Klay Thompson to like the top 15 players in the world, they would say he belongs in that conversation. He's a top 15 player. So why can't the Warriors just give him the money that he deserves, $221 million? Why does the league dictate how they give out contracts based on how the media votes?
I agree completely. I think that the only way that the league should do, you know, should change the rules is the stuff to try to prevent super teams. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, for me, the one, I don't know if necessarily prevent super teams, but for me, the thing that gets me is the way that they even have a such thing as a max contract. Like, in other words, right now LeBron's a little bit hurt, but a couple years ago, you know, when LeBron's in his prime, and let's say he comes back, he's still in his prime. If Kemba Walker, let's say a team has $100 million to spend, you know, year, right? Just and anyways, if Kemba Walker's worth $35 million, $32 million, LeBron's worth $80 million. So a team would pay him $80 million, and obviously then they'd only have $20 million left to spend. That right there would create a little bit more parity. But the fact that, you know, Kevin Durant and Kemba Walker are going to make comparable salaries, that's asinine. And I think that's the main thing they got to change, is just let teams pay whatever they want, you know.
Yeah, so I get what you're saying, Kelly. I appreciate the call. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. So essentially what Kelly's saying is just take away the max contract in general, because you don't have that type of situation in baseball, like, right? You can pay Mike Trout whatever you want to pay him. The issue is you have a salary cap in the NBA. So this is why we see so many guys, like, willing to move to different places and play for different teams, is that's the power that they have, right? Their power is being mobile. Their power is going to different organizations and playing for different teams, because they don't have power in terms of demanding the most possible money from the organization. The teams can only pay them so much, even if you qualify for that Supermax contract. So the one power that players have is movement. And now we're seeing all these like mega superstars in the league, the LeBrons, the Kevin Durants, the Kawhi Leonards of the world, and now Kawhi starting to get into this territory in terms of endorsements. These guys make so much damn money off the court. And Kyrie Irving's actually in this group. Not to say he's at that level as a player, but Kyrie Irving makes a boatload of money off the court, to the point where these guys are willing to say, yeah, I don't really care about the Supermax. Kyrie's saying, I don't want to be in Cleveland. I don't want to be in Boston. Durant's like, I don't want to be in OKC. I'm willing to leave Silicon Valley now and go to Brooklyn. Like, all these guys, what they're doing is they're saying, all right, let's be mobile. If we can't get the money we think we ultimately deserve, like on the open market, Durant and LeBron will get way more than the max contract, at least have some sort of power. And the power that they're banking on is the flexibility in holding teams hostage. That's the power they have, right? Kevin Durant kept signing these one-year deals with a one-year opt-out. Same thing with LeBron when he was in Cleveland, one-year deal with a one-year opt-out. So he had that flexibility over the organization where he could say, oh, I want this guy, and that guy, if you want me to stay, or else I'm going to leave. So basically, you're putting the pressure on the organization by remaining mobile and not signing these long-term deals. So I don't think the Supermax contract has even helped any of these small market teams. Paul George decided to leave. He didn't want it. Kawhi Leonard decided to leave. He didn't want it. You look at Kevin Durant. He didn't want it. And two of the guys that wanted it, DeMarcus Cousins, he got traded before he could qualify in Sacramento, and Kemba Walker wanted it in Charlotte. And they didn't want to give it to him. So what's the point of the Supermax contract? It's stupid. All right, a lot more to get into. Are you happy with the direction the Boston Celtics are going in? Are you concerned at all with the way Danny Ainge is handling his business this offseason? I am. I'll tell you why next. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.